Republicans in the state legislature are considering an $87 million cut to the universities of Wisconsin. It's Thursday, June 19th, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, lawmakers plan to bring back a proposal that would pay for the state's school voucher program separately from how it funds the public school system. And as county fair season kicks off in Wisconsin, participants will need to test some dairy cows for avian flu. Stay with us.
Thank you to the donors who make Wisconsin Public Radio possible. There are more than 50,000 of you. Your generosity delivers essential news, thought-provoking conversations, and inspiring music to listeners all over Wisconsin and beyond. Your support makes a difference in people's lives every day. Thank you.
The powerful Speaker of the Wisconsin Assembly says Republicans in his chamber support cutting the budget for the universities of Wisconsin. Sean Johnson has the details.
Assembly Speaker Robin Voss said his caucus supports an $87 million budget cut. He told reporters yesterday that Republicans have concerns with how the UW is run.
Look, this is not a new topic for Republicans. I think we look and say that there is still too much political correctness on campus. We don't have enough respect for political diversity.
The legislature's Joint Finance Committee could vote on the UW budget today. The full legislature would eventually need to sign off. Democrats have said a cut should be a non-starter at a time when the state has a surplus of more than $4 billion. The UW system asked for an increase of more than $850 million. Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio.
And a quick note, WPR is a division of UW-Madison. The Republican-controlled state Senate, meanwhile, passed a bill yesterday to ramp up penalties on rioters and make it easier to sue them over injuries and property damage. It was one of a series of bills passed during a Senate floor session. Republicans say the legislation is in response to an increase in violent riots since 2020. Democratic State Senator Chris Larson of Milwaukee took issue with how the bill blocks any elected officials from limiting police attempting to make arrests during riots. Larson said Wisconsin already has laws on assault and vandalism.
What problem is this seeking to solve? We already have the ability to be able to go after these folks. This just seems to criminalize freedom of association.
The bill passed the Senate on a voice vote and now heads to the state assembly. The Wisconsin State Legislature has also approved a bill that would formally classify gig drivers for apps like Uber and DoorDash as independent contractors, not employees. As Anya Van Wagtendonk reports, the Republican-authored bill has some bipartisan support.
The proposal states that drivers for transit apps like Lyft or Instacart are not direct employees of those tech companies. Instead, they'd be contractors and therefore not eligible for workers' comp, unemployment insurance, or the minimum wage. The bill would also establish a way for such workers to pay into benefits accounts to cover things like health care. Republican Representative Alex Dahlman of Markazan co-authored the bill. He says it will offer flexibility for gig workers like himself, a former Uber driver.
They'll be able to solidify that they get to choose when and where they want to work, the freedom that they have to be able to earn benefits.
Democratic and union critics argue that gig workers often take those jobs out of necessity and that all workers should be entitled to certain baseline standards. Anya Van Wagtendonk, Wisconsin Public Radio.
A Dane County judge is set bond at $750,000 for a Madison woman accused of attempting to poison two other people. According to reporting in the Wisconsin State Journal, prosecutors allege that Andrea Whitaker plotted with her boyfriend to poison several of her boyfriend's ex-girlfriends using substances like cyanide and Valium. Her boyfriend, Paul Van Dunn Jr., is being held in the Dane County Jail on tentative charges of attempted murder and stalking. As part of the response to the case against the couple, hazardous material teams visited three different homes in Madison over the course of this week. Wisconsin's Department of Justice says there is no threat to neighbors in those general areas, and there have been no known fatalities in the case. Researchers have pinpointed a species of blue-green algae in the Duluth Superior Harbor, which is linked to a toxin that causes harmful blooms. Scientists with the University of Minnesota in Duluth analyzed DNA from the blooms that were collected mainly from a beach in Superior. They found a specific type of blue-green algae has genes that are needed to produce a toxin that can lead to harmful blooms. Kate Reinel is a research coordinator with the Lake Superior Research Reserve. She says the discovery can help improve monitoring.
I think this is a really important piece, especially for the management aspect of things and understanding who is out there producing the toxins.
Blue-green algae contain toxins that can be harmful to people and animals. They can also pose risks for drinking water. Researchers say they hope to locate where the algae is coming from and eliminate any conditions that are ripe for harmful blooms to form. The start of Wisconsin's county fair season is around the corner. As Hope Kerwin reports, it's the second year participants will need to test some dairy cows for avian flu before bringing them to a show.
A state order requires lactating dairy cows to be tested for avian flu within a week of traveling to a fair or exhibition. The requirement was announced just before fair season last year, leaving many exhibitors and fair boards scrambling to figure out the new rules. Jamie Butke from the Wisconsin Association of Fairs says some counties had fewer milking cows participate, but she thinks it will be less of an issue this summer.
As last summer went on, they all adapted and they figured out the testing and so forth. So they're just going to use those same procedures.
Wisconsin has not had a case of avian flu in dairy cows. The state's farms are now required to test their milk monthly for signs of the virus. But animal health officials say individual testing of show animals will continue to ensure summer events don't present a risk to the dairy industry. Hope Kerwin, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Coming up, WPR's Nick Rommel will have a story about an effort to unionize a primary care center in Madison. Stay with us.
Can't get enough of the WPR headphone-wearing badger? Now he's on a koozie. What is a koozie?
I don't know. I've never heard that word before.
It's where you put your ice-cold beverage of choice. You put it inside the koozie, and you just lift up the koozie, and you know how to drink. I don't need to tell you that.
Ask for your WPR Badger koozie when you give $5 a month or more at WPR.org.
And finally, a group of doctors and nurses at the Madison Primary Care Center Group Health Cooperative are fighting to form a union. The conflict shines a light on the state of primary care medicine today. Nick Rommel spoke with the group during a recent strike at Meritor Hospital in Madison.
In late May, nurses at Meritor marched outside their hospital, carrying signs that called for higher staffing levels. They argued that better staffing would help healthcare workers and their patients, and they were joined on the picket line by doctors and nurses from the primary care provider Group Health Cooperative, or GHC. In December, a group of GHC employees filed a petition to unionize with the Service Employees International Union. They feel that management has eroded the unique community and preventive approach they value at GHC. And they also feel that having a say in those decisions would improve GHC for everyone.
We want to have more say in the management of our organization and move away from just thinking about profit and corporate, you know, needs and desires to be thinking about, you know, really truly patient centered, focused care.
That's Kyoko Felland, a physician assistant at GHC. To her, one example of that was her company phasing out its in-house psychiatry service for patients who were acutely depressed or suicidal. All that did, she said, was make primary care doctors have to do more with less.
When there's not a mental health provider in the clinic, it goes to us. There's nowhere else for that to go.
On the nursing side, certified medical assistant Katie Cloud says the staffing issues affecting nurses in hospitals are present at GHC, too.
There's too much work and not enough people to do the work, not enough people to make the phone calls.
Within days of the picket, the nurses union at Meritor had reached an agreement with management, but GHC providers are still fighting. The issues that doctors and nurses are seeing at GHC fit into a larger pattern. The fact that primary care, across the country, doesn't make enough money. That's according to Hayden Rooklay, fellow at the American Economic Liberties Project and Brown University. He researches corporate consolidation and labor organizing in healthcare. He says primary care is increasingly used by big healthcare corporations as a way to funnel patients into more lucrative hospital procedures. That puts independent primary care providers, like GHC, in a tough spot.
An overall competitive landscape where primary care, sort of as a standalone feature, is really unprofitable.
He says more and more doctors, including those in primary care, are turning to unions to have a say over how to do their job. In fact, he found that in 2023 and 2024, the same number of physicians joined a union as in the 22 years before that combined.
There is a real sense among this workforce that they're simply not able to carry out their calling of, you know, their profession.
GHC management says it supports its employees' right to unionize, but the process has been rocky. The union's original goal was to represent staff at just one clinic. Management argued that an election had to take place at all clinics, so the decision was thrown to the National Labor Relations Board. 2 months later, in March, the board decided in management's favor. The union claims management used that time for a union-busting campaign. It's charged the company with dozens of labor law violations. These include firing a worker for union activity, soliciting screenshots of a pro-union group chat, and banning employees from discussing the union at work. At the Meritor picket, Dr. Nisha Rajagopalan said there have also been more managers in the hallways and in the break rooms. It's being presented as management being more available, she said.
But it feels very different in this particular situation when all of a sudden somebody who's never been there before is now there.
GHC management declined an interview request, but in a statement, an executive called the charges unfounded and said they were aimed at avoiding an election. Meanwhile, the union has claimed management's actions make a fair election impossible. Organizers are calling on the company to recognize its original proposed union. A potential election date is still up in the air as the Labor Relations Board resolves the union's charges, as well as coercion charges made by GHC management against the union. Nick Rommel, Wisconsin Public Radio.
And finally, quick check of your forecast for the day. Mostly sunny to start and a little warmer than the past few days, with highs in the 70s and 80s. Also a good chance for some rain later on, possibly some storms as well. Scattered showers and storms expected across the state overnight, with low temperatures down into the 50s and 60s. And that'll do it for this Thursday. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producers today were Bridget Bowden and John Davis. Have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you again soon.